A new survey out this week from the Media Insight Project shows that Americans are getting their news from a variety of sources and mediums, and that there is a real desire out there for solid, meaty news.
The poll also challenges the idea of the filter bubble, the notion that with limitless choices, people are only going to follow a few subjects that they're interested in and only from sources that they agree with.
Here to talk more about those findings and what it says about our news culture is Tom Rosenstiel, Executive Director of the American Press Institute. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, it's a great survey. I had a chance to take a look at it this morning, and there's a lot to it. And so I strongly encourage people to take a look at it for themselves after they hear the interview. But it starts out in the introduction, contrary to conventional wisdom about media consumption. What is the conventional wisdom about media consumption these days? If I were just to walk up to a professor somewhere or somebody who follows the news, what would they tell me what Americans are doing?
Well, what I hear most often is people only get information that they agree with. They only go to the sources that confirm their preconceptions, and that everything divides along generational lines, that young people only get news from social media, from Facebook, and older Americans, you know, read the newspaper. And neither of those things is true. It turns out that 15 years into the internet age, we've become pretty rational. We use the device that's convenient at the time where we are, and we're interested in a wide variety of things. If you define news as, you know, something more than just politics, but, you know, you're talking about weather and sports and all the things that comprise news, people are interested in a large diet of that across. And there's very little difference across generations. In fact, we asked people in detail about 15 different topics, and there was only a statistically significant difference in generations on four of them, and the only distinction was between people over 60 and those under 30. Across all the other age groups, the interest levels in all of these topics was very similar. So, you know, the idea that somehow one generation is uninterested and passive and doesn't read the news, doesn't go to news organizations. Not true.
So before we get into the results of the survey, where, in your mind, did all this conventional wisdom come from? Is it people just talking to each other or what?
Well, you know, I mean, we have infinite choices now, right? The user is in control. We live in a consumer-controlled media world. And I think then people are fearful, and they think, "Oh my goodness! Well, if we can't force this on people, my kids will never know anything, you know, or my, you know, if Fox News and MSNBC exist, then that must be how everybody behaves." And I think it's partly out of anxiety and partly out of the fact that things are changing, so we leap to a conclusion about where the change leads.
One of the takeaways from the survey is on the first page of your introduction, and it's pulled out of the text, and it was something that really caught my eye. There are five devices or technologies that majority of Americans use to get news in a given week. The average American adult uses four different devices or technologies for news. And when you combine that with that generational finding that you mentioned before, to me, that is just a real startling fact.
Well, and if you think hard about your own behavior, you realize, okay, well, I do, you know, I see stuff on TV. And, you know, sometimes I'm on a tablet, and sometimes I'm on a computer, and sometimes I'm, even if I don't subscribe to the newspaper, I see it. I see print products. I see magazines. I pick them up. I'm at the dentist's office. You know, some of this stuff sort of comes at us. And there was a scholar a few years ago said it's not true that people don't read newspapers anymore. What's disappearing is the 7-day-a-week newspaper reader, but not the idea that people, don't read a print newspaper.
Yeah, in fact, in your survey, in that introduction, there's a graph, and of the six sources of news, three are ones people are going to, you know, TV, radio, newspapers are still there. But you see those computers, those cell phones, those tablets sort of encroaching on that. And are they taking eyeballs away, or are they floating the whole boat?
You know, that's a really good question. They're floating the whole boat. people who have cell phones are more likely to use social media to get news, but they are also still very likely to go directly to a news site and a news organization. And the more gadgets you own, the more likely you are to just get news from many different places. So the sort of the habit of getting news leads to getting more news, and having more devices leads to getting more news. People who have more devices are more likely to say they enjoy getting the news. And that makes sense to me because it's actually easier to do. It's in your pocket. You can, if the bus is late or you're stuck in line or you're waiting for your spouse to show up, you pull it out and sometimes you check email, but sometimes you check out a sports story or you go to the homepage of or you go on Twitter, and if you follow any news organizations, you're getting news that way.
You know, it was interesting when I was taking a look at this survey, I was reminded of an article I read a couple months ago in The New Yorker that took almost, I don't want to say the opposite viewpoint, but the title of it was, "Doesn't Anyone Read the News?" And it was talking about a dearth of interest of people looking at particularly what, you know, they defined as political news. But I took two different things away from these two stories within a few months of each other. Why are we having that sort of, I don't want to know if I want to call it a disconnect, but sort of two different interpretations of kind of the same thing?
Well, for one thing that's tricky is that it's very hard to know how people are behaving across devices from looking at the data that comes from what we call analytics. So analytics are, you know, how many people are on cell phones every day, and how many people are on computers, or how much time do people spend on tablets. That tells you about tablets, and that tells you about cell phones. But you're not actually tracking people, so you can't figure out what's that person doing across devices and across technology. The only way to get at that is through survey work, at least at the moment. And that's expensive. Surveys are done, this kind of in-depth survey about news consumption is done maybe every couple years. And what we did in this survey is we said, let's invent questions for the digital age that are not the same questions that people have been asking since the 1960s, because those questions, while they can track change over time, a lot of them really don't work anymore. The terms don't make sense, and they were built around the idea that people do the same thing every day and that they have just a few places. So the questions in those traditional surveys are things like, where do you get most of your local news? What we did in this survey is we said, where do you get news about schools? Where do you get news about your favorite sports team? Where do you get news, or do you get news on these topics? And if so, from where? And what you discover when you do this is actually people don't get most of their news from any one particular place. They go all over the place. But the questions hadn't been asked that way before. And the other thing we try to test here is, can people tell the difference? Do they distinguish between the discovery mechanism that they got for news and the news organization that gathered and reported the news? Do they think that Twitter is a news organization, or do they think Google is a news organization, or do they know Google's an aggregator or a search engine and Twitter is a delivery platform? The answer we got was pretty overwhelmingly, yeah, people not only make that distinction, but when they're in social media, they are pretty selective about what links they click on. If they think it's from the New York Times or some source that they like, they're much more likely to click on it. And they tell us they trust news from those brands more than they do from other places. So people are much more sort of conscious than we sometimes give them credit for.
Lots to talk about. We're talking with Tom Rosensteel about the way Americans consume their news. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you consume news from a variety of sources and mediums? Do you crave news with substance? And how far are you willing to go to get that news? We're talking with Tom Rosensteel about how Americans choose to get their news. talking about the results of a survey conducted by the Media Insight Project and found some interesting things in terms of how Americans access news on a variety of platforms and the types of things that they choose to pay attention to. Tom Rosensteel, one of the things we were talking about right before the news was this idea that people are selective, that they do look for some sort of credibility, and that sort of flies, you know, there's been, I think, this perception lately that people are just sort of passive, that they'll just, whatever comes up in their device is real, and they don't really look much further than that. But your survey sort of paints a different picture.
Yeah, actually, we found that rather than being passive, people are pretty rational and self-directed, and that the biggest determinant of where people go for news is actually the subject of the story. So they pick very different places to get their weather versus sports versus arts or technology and science news. They pick different places for local news and news about their kids' school. And the choices they make are ones that, when you think about it, make a fair amount of sense. There are a range of topics now that people say the first place, where the most popular place or most cited source are actually specialized news organizations. So sports, more people go to specialized news brands than they do general local news publishers. You know, their local newspaper or local TV. Same thing with science. Same thing with celebrity and entertainment news. They go to... They're very likely to use apps for weather, but not for other things. The newspaper is still the go-to place for most local news, for schools and education, and also for arts and culture news that's local. And, you know, that makes a certain amount of sense when you think about, well, what could you get? You know, could you find that information on a local TV station? Or are there local nonprofit things covering the city council or not in your town? A lot of towns, no. So what you see when you drill down by topic is a kind of a rationality and a certain common sense. People have gotten used to technology and they use it. Now, we understand that when we talk about, you know, hey, you have a cell phone, you have a smartphone, what do you think of it? We're not surprised that people are pretty competent in using apps to live their lives. But when we think about people as news consumers, we think, oh, gosh, you're just lemmings.
So a couple of questions here about sort of the implications of the survey on two fronts. One, in terms of a news consumer, what are the implications of the survey? And then the second part of the question, in terms of news producers, radio stations, websites, you know, newspapers, what are the implications there? Because everybody's going to be heading in the same direction. We all got to live in the same space. But I think that we're in this period of transition right now.
Right. Well, for news consumers, I think, to take those one at a time, we're much more curious about a wide range of things than we think. What those things are changes some with as we sort of move through our lives. So we see, for instance, that people under 30 aren't that interested in schools and education, and the people who are the most interested in that are people in their who are over 30 but below 60. Those people have kids in school. But people are interested in lots of different things as they are relevant to their lives, and it's a much wider spectrum. And we have a lot more common ground or much more of a public square than we think we do. We may not have it about national politics, but we have it about a lot of other things. What it means for news producers, I think, is not that the medium is the message, but the topic of the news is the message, that the news itself is the message. And that means, I think, that if you're a news publisher, you've got to decide what it is you're going to be really good at. You can't sort of be the old general store and that, you know, sells nails and flour and hats and blue jeans and saddles. you've got to be really good at some things so that people will come to you, because a better kind of content, a better source for that information is always a click away in the digital world. So what is it that you at Wisconsin Public Radio, what is it that you are going to be really good at that your audience will turn to you for and they won't turn to anybody else? If you can't figure that out, you've got a problem. And if you think you're just going to be their only news source, the place they turn to for everything, you're living in the wrong era.
And I have to ask, we've only got about 30 seconds or so left, but are there media outlets out there that you don't think are up to that challenge of trying to define what it is they're good at?
Well, I think it means you've got to actually understand your listeners, your audience, your data. You've got to become data companies. I think it also means that you've got to make some tough decisions. You've got to decide what it is that you used to do that you don't do so well anymore. Maybe you never did that well. And you've got to be honest with yourself about it. It's a little bit like, you know, deciding that you're actually not going to be a rock star when you get to be maybe 20.
Yeah, I'm already there.
Okay, so you're on your way.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for being with us today. Fascinating topic.
Thanks.
Tom Rosensteel is the executive director of the American Press Institute, and we've been talking with him about some of the ways that Americans are consuming their news.